each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father.
Nick over there. Let's see, who said this, Tony? This, I'm going to put you on the...
Okay.
This is a test.
Perfect. And I don't have Christina here to help
right,
with
that's
this.
Right, so... Pray, hope, and don't worry. Anxiety doesn't help at all. Our merciful Lord will listen to your prayer. Thanks, Jasmine.
You're welcome.
Wow. I'm very knowledgeable, but I don't know who said that.
Pray, hope, and don't worry.
Pray, hope, and don't worry.
Padre Pio.
Really?
Yeah. Today's his feast day.
Ah, I should have known.
So I got a whole bunch of quotes from him. They're really quite impressive. He had a... Actually, I would say, you know, having been in Italy, I lived there for a year, and I've been back and forth almost every year. Usually make a retreat there in January. But I really believe that he's the most popular saint in Italy. He and St. Anthony, believe it or not. In other words, wherever I go, I see more often in most... Churches have a statue of Padre Pio and St. Anthony.
Oh.
St. Francis is there as well, but it seems to me that Padre Pio and St. Anthony take precedent in Italy. I think so. But he's a very hard life, fascinating. But we'll, after we pray, we'll look at that. So I'm more interested in his quotes, you know?
Yeah.
I just downloaded some of them this morning. And actually, before I do that, after we pray, I want to talk about, which kind of be a little bit of a lead into it, Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, why he went to daily mass.
Mm.
You know, he's the author of Lord of the Rings.
First thing I think of when I hear that name is The Hobbit.
Yeah. So you saw the movie The Hobbit. You gave me the movie.
Yeah.
I think The Hobbit, but you saw the trilogy, right? The Lord of the Rings. What did you prefer?
I like the Lord of the Rings. I do. It's just that I haven't been able to study it like most.
Right.
You know, I've seen it, and it's okay. You know, it's almost like you see it if you can sit through. The length of these films.
The trilogy, yeah.
Right, if you sit through the whole... But every day, every time you see something a little different.
Yeah, I've read the book, and...
I think I read The Hobbit when I was in school.
So I read the Lord of the Rings, but I didn't read The Hobbit. Huh. I've got the book, and actually the movie, you gave me the movie, but I couldn't, after having seen the trilogy, the Lord of the Rings, I couldn't quite get into the...
it's like that sometimes.
The Hobbit, you know. The movie, I mean, I've got the book. I hadn't even.
I was amazed when they made the movie and they made it in three parts like that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
You see the people, you know. I mean, you either have read the Lord of the Rings or you've read, you know, The Hobbit. And The Hobbit is just a smaller story, but to see three movies like that, that was kind of cool.
I thought it was very well, done. The music, everything, the characters, everything.
And that's
was
the good
perfect,
thing about
it. You know, so. I think they captured pretty well the book. Maybe even most. Usually, if you read a book and then you see the movie, you're disappointed.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's just maybe the opposite.
The opposite.
So, anyway, let's pray and then we'll go from there. Always begin with prayer. And that's what Padre Pio would say. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Gosh, I wish
pray,
I could.
Hope and don't worry. That's something.
I wish I could not. I pray and I hope, but I wish I could not have the anxiety.
Like worrying.
And he's right when he says anxiety doesn't help at all.
It doesn't.
Our merciful Lord will listen to your prayer. But then I always think, you know, Jesus had anxiety as well, because in the scripture he says, he talks about the heaviness of his heart, and he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there are many, many times when he was perturbed or preoccupied or seemingly worried, right?
I'm thinking about it now as you say this. From scripture, I unless I'm wrong, and I don't know it as well, but I don't, you kind of interpret, you kind of see or sense the anxiety, but I don't think Jesus really...
Well, he says it, though.
He does?
Yeah, he says...
I'm anxious, or...
Yeah, that I'm troubled. He said that. I'm troubled. My heart is heavy.
Yeah. Now that I think about it.
And then there's other instances where you can feel it in him. You can feel it in pray through sacred scripture. But he does say, my heart is heavy. He does say, I'm troubled. Mm-hmm. He does express anxiety as he's moving toward the holy city, toward Jerusalem, mm-hmm. knowing that he's going to lay down his life.
So I wonder if, like in scripture, the reading of it is different than when you think of somebody that's anxious or somebody that, you know, can't sleep or somebody that's, you know, shaking or somebody that's...
Well, certainly in the Garden of Gethsemane.
That you know, probably...
Because he sweat blood, mm-hmm. you know. He wanted Peter, James, and John to stay with him.
Yeah.
To give him that strength or that comfort, that consolation. Just to be, we know it is when people, you know, just don't go away, I don't want to be alone. And he actually sweat blood.
Or knowing what was going to happen.
Right.
And even when he says, you know, Father, take this away from me, but it be thy will. You know, you're knowing what's coming. And now that I think about it again, it's in the reading, because even feeling, you feel it then, you feel the anxiousness, you feel the,
right.
you know, the dread or.
Right. I truly believe that. Well, you know, he wasn't spared anything of what we suffer, and he who didn't sin was made sin. He took sin to himself. I always say that I truly believe that it was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he gave his definitive yes to do the will of the Father, to fulfill the will of the Father. When he said just that quote, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, thy will be done, that in that he gave his definitive yes to the Father, in obedience to the Father. Mm-hmm.
It's a beauty, too. And I think of Our Lady's yes also. I mean, she didn't know. She, you know, St. Joseph didn't even, I have not husband.
Yeah.
And just the fact that you say yes.
Well, I think that she, exactly. And in the presentation of Jesus in the temple, when Simeon said, this child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many, and a sword will pierce your heart, looking to the mother, that the secret thoughts of many be laid bare. And scripture says she ponders, you know, she ponders that. What is this, you know, she lets it mill over her heart. Many times in the scripture we see her pondering the mysteries that are unfolding in her life and the life of Christ and you know, but anxiety is, and in fact, you know, we pray that before we, right after the Our Father. I don't have the prayer with me now. I should know it by heart. I say it every day. But the prayer the priest prays after the Our Father, before the lead us not into temptation, but deliver us now. No, wait, no, that's the end of the Our Father. Anyway, we pray. There's a prayer that's prayed before. Then there's a response from the people.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, we ask that we be delivered from all distress, from all anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of life. But anyway, but he's right. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Anxiety doesn't help at all. We know that for sure. We expend more energy worrying about things that, you know, it's probably 90, 95% of worry is useless, right?
Yeah.
I would think.
Try to tell someone to stop doing that and see if yeah, does it work.
Right. Anyway, so we'll pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and from there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, Look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Padre Pio,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to just share a few words that a Tolkien said about the Holy Eucharist, because they were really, really, really inspiring, I thought. And then we'll look at some of the quotes from Padre Pio, yeah, which are something to reflect on for sure. But anyway, don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here are two new books from EWTN Publishing. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life, from the nun who made it her life's work to instruct millions. This volume assembles her most profound and timeless advice on how you can grow in holiness and achieve your ultimate purpose, to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni, how to explain and defend Catholic teaching using common sense, simple logic, and the Bible. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life and Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni. Available now at EWTNRC.com. By Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony. I'm Winds of Change, the Two Tonys. Today's a feast of Padre Pio, but I want to begin with, I just read this morning, and I thought it was really something for all of us to think about, and I'll tell you why. So J.R.R. Tolkien, mm-hmm. Tolkien was the author of The Lord of the Rings, which is a Catholic, it's like a big, right. This huge parable on the faith. But he loved receiving the Eucharist. It strengthened his faith during difficult times. And he lived through some of the... Now, think about this, you know, because we think about what's going on in the world right now and what we're going through and what may be coming, because we don't know what's on the horizon. And we know we're in uncharted territory in many ways. The whole world is. I truly believe where this is a... I feel like this is a biological war. The whole pandemic thing has all been politicized and... You know, we've talked about that, but everybody has their opinion. But nonetheless, this is with so much going on, politically speaking, morally speaking, just the vacuum of leadership, strong leadership all over the world, with the exception of perhaps the I would hate to say this, but China and Russia, you know, but something is not right. Mm-hmm. People feel it. The violence, just everything that's going on. I hear it from people all the time. That, you know, words like this nightmare. When will this nightmare be over? Yeah. This is all surreal. It doesn't even feel like we're in the same country. I hear this all the time. Often people come to confession. They express their anxiety. It's talking about anxieties over what's unfolding in the world, in the church. You know, just everything seems to be upside down. But now think about that. You look at this past century, the last century. And certainly Tolkien, that was his century, but he lived through some of the darkest periods in human history. He fought in World War I, survived the Spanish flu pandemic, endured the Great Depression, witnessed the horrors of World War II. Just think about that, you know, just put that in perspective, you know. And again, we don't know what lies on the horizon. We know that we're passing through this diabolical disorientation, and the question is, how do we navigate through this? How do we survive? What do we do? To whom do we have recourse? This commentary provides the answer without a doubt. You know, again, think about what these people were thinking or going through during the First World War, during the Spanish flu pandemic, during the Great Depression, during the horrors of World War II. They must have thought this was the end of time, the end of the world, mm-hmm. You know, and because millions upon millions upon millions of people died in the exterminations, the Holocaust, the mass killings in China, Soviet Union. And we went through that once before, but it's amazing when you think of Cambodia.
Yeah,
was it Cambodia or Laos? I think it was Cambodia.
I think it was Cambodia.
Cambodia.
Vietnam,
The Rwanda,
yeah,
the genocide. I mean, when you think about it, but what he did is, in the midst of all this, he made it a habit to attend daily mass, and his schedule, daily schedule, he would start off bright and early by biking to mass at a church called St. Aloysius Catholic Church at 7:30 with his sons Michael and Christopher. Afterwards, they biked home to eat the breakfast his wife Edith had prepared for them. When his son Michael was having personal struggles, he urged him to turn to the Eucharist, expressing to him how the Eucharist kept his faith alive during dark times. And this is his quote. He says, "Out of the darkness of my life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. There you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves upon earth." And then in a separate letter to Michael, he again reiterated this fact and shared how daily Mass was an essential part of his faith. He said, the only cure for sagging a fainting faith is communion. I guess it's the only cure for sagging or fainting faith is communion. Though always itself, perfect and complete and inviolate, the Blessed Sacrament does not operate completely and once for all in any of us. Like the act of faith, it must be continuous and grow by exercise. Frequency is the highest effect. Seven times a week is more nourishing than seven times at intervals. I think that's a really inspiring. I think that's because I tell you, you know, what my favorite time of day is going to the confessional, and it's just a beautiful way to end the day, is going to the confessional at 6 o'clock and then having Mass at 7 o'clock. And we have no music. The church is really very beautiful, very quiet. People are in adoration before we have the Mass. During the confessions, well, all day, all night, the doors are always open. But there's just something about the calm. When he describes here, there you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves on earth. I think it's so true. I know it's true. And that really, and I've been saying this from time to time, I say, but the obligation is to assist at public Mass, or to give public witness and worship at the Sunday Mass. Mm-hmm. That's the obligation. We have an obligation of responsibility. That's fulfilling the commandment of God to keep holy the Sabbath. You know, it begins with the worship, the proper worship of Almighty God, thanksgiving, gratitude, worship, intercession in a public form, you know, that we all give public witness. On the first day of the week, which is for us the Sabbath, the day of the resurrection. But I've been saying for years already that I truly believe that it's, when I say not sufficient, I don't mean to diminish the efficacy, because the Mass is the sublime mystery of our faith is this encounter we have with God, really the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's through Jesus to the Father, but all by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, whereby we're actually fed with the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. But that communion be perpetuated or strengthened or deepened, as he said, in the frequent assisting frequently. So, you know, if people, and there are people who go to daily Mass. Now, I realize for a lot of people, like for yourself, because of your work schedule and all that, it's not possible. But it is. I think it would be start out as a good discipline for people, and certainly it gives us. If we say that Our Lady wanted the doors open, so that the cacophony of the world not shout into silence the voice of the living God, and there can be this encounter with God, a coming away from the... because what do we do? I was telling the students this past week, the CCD students, your wife was, Angelica was part of that, we bless the holy water and the holy water fonts, you know, to take home, to put it, so that when they leave their home, they make the sign of the cross, bless themselves with the holy water. When they return, they bless themselves with the holy water to emphasize... this sense that our home is sacred. It's the domestic church. It's a sanctuary, and when we leave home, we're going into the world, into the battle, into the work of life. But we have to safeguard that sacred space. So we come back from the world, we bless ourselves again as we enter into the sanctuary of the home. If people could think that way, you know, that our homes are under the lordship of Christ Jesus, even if parents would teach their children that, you know, that there's certain ways of behaving or speaking that are not permissible because this is a Christian home, this is a Catholic home. You find in this, you save the holy water font, you have the holy water, We gave them, everybody, the rosary, you know, in the home. There should be an image of Our Lady or the saint, you know, patron saint. Or, you know, the family could have a patron saint, just like a church has a patron saint, Saint Stanislaus Kostka, in our case. The crucifix, which is always the beautiful sign of the incomprehensible love of God, that He laid down His life, and to see beyond that cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection. But these sacramentals, these symbols and signs of the faith, are really important. But to create that discipline, to develop that discipline, where we go to Mass daily, if you can. But to get into that, there comes a point when it doesn't become a discipline, but it becomes, or even a burden, but it's just something you can't live without. It becomes indispensable to the in order to safeguard and protect a certain harmony and order and peace in one's life. It's the sure sacred weapon against being overwhelmed with anxiety. Speaking of anxiety and distress, and to overcome the trials and the tribulations, and to be centered, to be focused. I know, you know, my own, if it's not the Mass, you know, adoration, certainly to be in the presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. I know that any time that I feel that I'm losing control, or that I'm just overwhelmed or whatever, I'm blessed to have a chapel right next to my office, or right just a flight of stairs down from my room, or just a flight out from the radio. And so I'm in and out of that chapel all the time. That's how I survive. That's how I survive. And I think that this is something that is needed today in a world that is where we increasingly feel like foreigners in a strange land. I was saying this to somebody yesterday too. Strangers in a foreign land, or foreigners in a strange land. It seems like we're foreigners in a strange land. The land seems rather strange, or strangers in a foreign land. Either way, but when we cleave to Christ in the sacraments, in the Holy Mass, in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, it keeps us grounded. It gives us the means to see beyond the darkness and the upheaval that is enveloping the world. And you'd just be foolish not to deny that fact, that there is an increase of darkness. There is this encroaching, evil. Feel it. People feel it. They know it. I guess those who don't are those who are either living in their own bubble, or they've got, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Everything is going just fine. But when you hit rock bottom, you fall into the abyss. Then, you know, will you have the humility then to reorient your life toward God, because we've come from God, we go to God, and we choose to live in God. We have to make that choice to live in God or not to live in God. But we're guilty of so many kinds of idolatries. I have to say, I'm at the point where I can't, because I try to download at the end of the day certain networks, you know, to get the news, and I don't like the commercials. Just really sicken me. Absolutely sicken me.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. It just anyway, it's all an illusion. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll look at the quotes of Padre Pio, which are really quite inspiring. All right, everybody, I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the Blue Mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the two Tonys here. So Padre Pio, do you know much about Padre Pio?
A little bit, not a lot.
Yeah, I can't say that I know people that are really, really deeply devoted to Padre Pio, and I guess, and I have no reason not to be. It's just, right. You know, I haven't really taken the time. I was there. I was in, I forget the name of the place, where he was in Italy, San Giovanni, Rotondo, Italy. Mm-hmm. I was there. In fact, I saw his body. You know, his body is in a glass casket. You can see, mm-hmm. or like a crypt or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can see his body. But he was born in May 25th, actually, the day of my ordination to the priesthood in 1887, and he died in 1968, September 23rd. That's today. That's mm-hmm. I guess that's why this is his feast day, right?
Yeah.
By the way, that's often the case with saints, is their feast day is the day of their death, when they were kind of born into, well, not kind of, I want to say, I just get this kind of out of my head, but when they were, their birth into heaven, mm-hmm. into the...
It's funny, now that I think about this, I have a friend whose birthday is today, and now I can relate it to Padre Pio.
Sure, yeah.
So that's how I remember it.
So, but he was very sickly, very, very sickly, mm-hmm. but came from a very, very devoted family. He had a number of brothers and sisters. He had an older brother, 3 sisters. He was baptized Francesco. His parents went to Mass daily, prayed the rosary nightly, abstained from meat 3 days a week in honor of Our Lady of Carmel, Mount Carmel. Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting, and this is, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, about these, I was talking about a young man who's highly educated, and we were talking, it was part of the young group, young adults, mm-hmm. And I know his parents, and they're deeply, deeply religious people, very humble people, and he was speaking about, you know, how his inspiration, I guess the greatest theologians, the greatest influence on his faith were his parents. Now, in the, you know, you see this, I see this with the, many of the poor Mexicans, you know, who in fact, and I know this as I began working here, which was a surprise to me, how many came here but and were illiterate and couldn't even write their name, you know. So they come from these little places in Mexico, but the most humble and deeply devoted people, and you know, I think of my own grandmother. I mean, she was She wasn't illiterate. She could speak English, broken English, but from Poland. But she had that she wasn't educated. You know, she came very young, so I don't think she probably finished I don't know that she finished grade school, or she certainly didn't go to high school, but she, but the wise, you know, she had this wisdom, this
humility,
the humility, the beautiful faith. I was so inspired by that. That was probably the single most inspiration I had as I was growing up, as far as the faith is, what really drew me to Christ and drew me to Our Lady. And so it's very, and now in the case of Padre Pio, he was very, very sick. He suffered from the time he was very, very young. He wanted to be a priest, a Franciscan. His father came to the United States to work in order to get him into school.
Wow.
Into the into the friary. And but in any case, he was just very pious, Padre Pio, pious, which means pious. Mm-hmm. Deeply religious. He had stigmata. He had great suffering through his whole life. He battled with the enemy, with the devil. He was absolutely what would be the word? He was the church. He suffered much from the church, who forbade him from even celebrating Mass or hearing confessions and even giving blessings for a long period of time.
Wow.
Because they thought he was a fraud. They didn't think this was really coming from God. But as investigations went on and all that, my gosh, at his funeral, there were over 100,000 people at his funeral.
Wow.
In 1968. But that's just in a nutshell. But basically, I think his from his own quotes, you know, his own writing, we get insight into the state of his soul. And so, as I said, he said, pray, hope, and don't worry. Anxiety doesn't help at all. Our merciful Lord will listen to your prayer. He said, in all the events of life, you must recognize the divine will. Adore and bless it, especially in the things which are the hardest for you. Prayer, he said, is the weapon, the best weapon we have. It is the key to God's heart. You must speak to Jesus not only with your lips, but with your heart. In fact, on certain occasions, you should only speak to him with your heart.
Wow.
It's beautiful because, you know, we were talking about this the other night, too, with the young adults, and, you know, it's the discomfort people have sometimes going to the Holy Eucharist or to the adoration, not knowing really what do I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a point I was saying, you know, I heard it said this way, that, for instance, if you're, and I took an example from one of the couples, a married couple. I said, when you were courting each other, and one was living in Spain, the other one was in Chicago, you would write back and forth, or I don't know if they, you know, these days with the cell phones and all that, you can get instantaneous communication. But let's go back, when you had to write letters and.
Yeah.
And you couldn't even talk on a telephone, you know. Right. I remember when I was in Poland when it was still under the satellite state of the Soviet Union, for 4 months I couldn't call home, you know. You couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't even know if that I had even written a letter or whatever, but the point is that let alone receive a letter.
What is writing a letter?
Well, that's kind of almost obsolete, isn't
exactly.
it? Yeah. Really, when you think about it,
yeah.
But in any case, when you're in the absence of the other, the person you love or whatever, then you write letters and you reread those letters and read them over and over and over. But when you're together, you put the letters aside,
right?
And that's how somebody described for me once what adoration is. You know, put aside everything and just be in the presence of God.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, if you're in the presence of the one you love, then there's no need to read.
Yeah, there's been many occasions where I come in and I want to be, you know, I'm in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, now I got to do my novenas, I have to say my prayers, but then there's sometimes I just sit and just let him know that I'm there, and I just listen instead of just praying.
It's what St. Teresa said, St. Therese of Lisieux, the little child, the child Jesus, that they said, "What? How do you? What do you do when you pray?" She said, "Well, prayer is a surge of the heart. I just let Him love me. You know, I just let God love me." And she often fell asleep in prayer. You know, broke her nose once, I think, on the pew, leaned over in sleep. But the that's really the case. Exactly. We need something to get focused, right? So the rosary beads or I do those little prayers. In the morning I begin always before the Blessed Sacrament with the rosary. I always begin with the rosary, and then I have the those prayers that I always pray on the beads. Have mercy on me, a poor sinner.
Right. See, I love when you told us that, because
that's what helps me to get, because once I do
it's
that.
It's a focus.
Exactly. And just to keep repeating that, what you're doing is that becomes almost a background music, if you want to call it, for the, can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're working on the outside.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going through the radio, but. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Jesus, I trust in you. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And by the time I do the rosary and do the, again, with the beads, those little prayers, a decade for each one of those, then I'm just silent, be silent. And it's just the most beautiful time. And you don't have to think about what's happening, or it's like Saint Therese said, you just be there and let the Lord love you. Padre Pio said, prayer is the best weapon we have. It's a key to God's heart. You must speak to Jesus not only with your lips but with your heart, and speak only to Him with your heart. Sometimes the point is you come in the truth of who you are. So with your anxieties, with your worries, with your quirks, your idiosyncrasies, with your failings and your shortcomings and all that, you bring it all before the Lord. Or I don't know, this person, that person, whatever's happened in the course of the day, you bring it before the Lord as in all humility, in humility, you surrender your life to God, realizing that you are nothing, have nothing, can do nothing. You embrace that precious nothingness, that Jesus be everything, because it's from God that we come. It's to God we go on, and so our prayer is, being in God. It's our only stability, our only constancy in life. Is the only one who's not going to deceive us or hurt us is the Lord. He may break us in order to heal us, in order to awaken us, but. Anyway, to go on with, be content to progress in slow steps until you have legs to run and wings to fly.
That's good.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Be content to progress in slow steps until you have legs to run and wings with which to fly. Sanctification is a work of a lifetime. The root of all evil is I, me, mine. Interesting.
Yeah.
Our Lord sends the crosses. We do not have to invent them. So true.
Yeah.
So true. We're going to take a final break, and then we'll come back, and I'll just wrap up with some of the other quotes of Padre. This hour is going pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's.
Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change here with Tony, the two Tonys.
Yeah.
Just to kind of wrap up, but these are beautiful things to think about. These are the quotes of St. Padre Pio, whose feast day is today. He says, in order to attract us, the Lord grants us many graces that we believe can easily obtain heaven for us. We do not know, however, that in order to grow, we need hard bread, the cross, humiliation, trials, and denials. And I suppose, you know, when you hear that, people might recoil from that, but everybody has to go through hard times, humiliations, trials, and yeah. tribulations, and the like. But if we learn to allow Christ into those hard times, which is part of life, then it brings us to depend on Him, to find and to know that He'll get us through, that it doesn't depend on our, and we have to, again, in humility, acknowledge that we need You, God. We can't do it. I can't do it without You. I need You. Get me through this day, please. And didn't He say, you know, when He says, pray, hope, and don't worry, right? Mm-hmm. He says, again, Jesus says, you know, why do you worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow hasn't come. Today has troubles enough of its own. I'm with you today, so you have little faith, you know. Put your eyes on Me, and today has sufferings sufficient for the day. I'll get you through this day, and I'll be with you tomorrow, and I'll get you through tomorrow. This is interesting. He says, in books we seek God. In prayer we find Him.
Wow, that I never thought of.
Yeah. Again, prayer is a key which opens God's heart. In books, we seek God. In prayer, we find Him. He says, the cross will not crush you. If its weight makes you stagger, its power will also sustain you. He says, as gifts increase in you, let your humility grow, for you must consider that everything is given to you on loan.
Good way to look at it.
Yep. Fear not, because God is with you. All the saints say that because they know what it is to fear, and they learn through their own fear that God is the faithful one. Be comforted with this divine thought that your spiritual and physical pains are the test of the divine will. He says, go to the Madonna, love her, always say the rosary, say it well. Say it as often as you can. Be souls of prayer. Never tire of praying. It is what is essential. Prayer shakes the heart of God. It obtains necessary graces. This is why Jesus says to pray unceasingly. St. Paul says pray unceasingly. Jesus says pray constantly. Go into your inner chamber. Close the door. And you needn't worry. Your Father knows already what you need. He says, do not let your heart become troubled by the sad spectacle of human injustice. Even this has its value in the face of all else. And it is from this that one day you will see the justice of God rising with unfailing triumph. He says, your tears were collected by the angels and were placed in a golden chalice, and you will find them when you present yourself before God. He says, always humble yourself lovingly before God and man, because God speaks to those who are truly humble of heart and enriches them with His gifts. Humility, to be humble, this is really key. It's the antithesis of pride, mm-hmm. the antithesis of self-centeredness, egocentricity, narcissism, to be humble. The most beautiful act of faith is one made in darkness, in sacrificing, and with extreme effort. I like this one as well, and because he really wrestled with the devil, as I think we all do, to varying degrees, right? Mm-hmm. He says, the devil is like a rabid dog tied to a chain. Beyond the length of the chain, he cannot seize anyone, and you keep at a distance. If you approach too near, you let yourself be caught. Remember that the devil has only one door by which to enter the soul, and that is the will, wow. If we will it. Prayer is the oxygen of the soul. It's this constant emphasis on prayer. So important. He says, you must not be discouraged or let yourself become dejected if your actions have not succeeded as perfectly as you intended. What do you expect? We were made of clay, and not every soil yields the fruits expected by the one who tills it. But let us always humble ourselves and acknowledge that we are nothing if we lack the divine assistance. I like this one very much. The life of a Christian is nothing but a perpetual struggle against self. There is no flowering of the soul to the beauty of its perfection except at the price of pain. This constant dying to self. Lose yourself. Get over yourself. Decrease at Jesus' increase. The more you are afflicted, the more you ought to rejoice, because in the fire of tribulation, the soul will become pure gold, worthy to be placed and to shine in the heavenly palace. And then the last one I have here is, may the heart of Jesus be the goal of all your aspirations. You know, that we lean away from the darkness into the light, into the heart of Jesus, so that we have the ear of God. Any commentary from you, Tom?
I always marvel at the saints. I mean, even the words of the saints. It's like we on earth, we try to be saintly. You know, I want to say that people say, well, yeah, I want to be a saint too. But you think of how God uses people just where they're at. And you think, wow, like I think of St. Peter, perfect, probably one of those guys that's one of those foul-mouthing, you know, working guy. And it's like, and I try to think about that.
Sure.
God uses us because he knows what we are inside. He knows what we're capable of. He created us. So it's,
this is going back to what Cardinal Ratzinger said in 1969, that this time of sifting, this purification, this time of testing that we're going through, that the church will go through, where it's not about theological dissertations and all that, but it's going to be about the proper worship of God, prayer, holiness of life, that God... It'll be the time of the saints, that God wants to raise up the saints. And I think we should all make that our prayer, that Lord, in this time in which we live, this very difficult time we're going through, because it's probably going to get worse, really, to be quite honest. But I think that without a doubt, I think part of our prayer should be, Lord, you know, raise up the saints, because it's always, the Anawim, the little flock, the remnant. Benedict said, what, the false deities, the masks will fall through the suffering faith of simple believers. So we'll leave it at that. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy feast day of Saint Padre Pio. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao. Meaningless thoughts.
the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.